There's Barr, big supporter of the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival 2018.
Oh yeah, it goes down. Come smoke with your boy. Grinder.
Spark is San Francisco's premier cannabis dispensary with a focus on serving and educating patients for 7 years. Spark is dedicated to creating the best in-store experience with its extensive menu, friendly staff, and one of the few cannabis vape lounges in San Francisco. Spark welcomes you to visit its two great locations as a medical patient or for recreational adult use in 2018. Spark is located at 1256 Mission Street between 8th and 9th and at 473 Haight Street at Fillmore. Both locations are open until 10 p.m. every night. Spark staff looks forward to serving you. Everybody, this is the Sparkcast live again, second week in a row from the Mutiny Radio Studios here at 21st and Florida. But Spark is located on Mission Street between 8th and 9th, and they are open every night until 10 a.m. to serve you some great, tasty flower nugs of joy and wonderment.
It's real. It's all true.
And we aren't going to be vaporizing it tonight because we're in the studio where we can just, we smoke out of a pipe. So that'll be interesting.
Mark Moyer's on the way.
We're going to be smoking the Blueberry Jack, which is a blueberry strain mixed with a Jack Herrera.
A good BJ. I really, really do.
So that's the product highlight today is 17% THC, zero CBD. And they told me that
THC,
it's...
THC, CBD.
What was that? BBC, DBD, or what was it?
ABC, BBD, East Coast Family.
East Coast Family. Hometown Philly back again.
You got it, baby.
Doing a little East Coast thing.
I miss them. They're still on tour. Something I learned, everyone who ever had a hit is still on tour, if they're not dead.
Well, we're going to have a hit of this Blueberry
Jack.
Oh,
snap.
Here we go.
We're going to take
segues.
A trip. Take a ride.
Whoa. I feel like we should do the squiggle cam from...
It smokes good. Oh, my God. It tastes so good. Okay, so once you get through the taste of my pipe, which is terrible because it's resinous from forever and I tried to clean it and I suck. Wow, that's hard.
You know my new thing?
Good.
Because I'm a germaphobe a little bit. So
burn it on the end.
I like washing my hands with rubbing alcohol.
Oh, boy. Okay. Wow. I'm already coughing, which bodes well for the highness factor of this particular product highlight. We're all Kaufman, usually a blunt smoker. He coughs as well.
Yeah, you could hear the exhale there. That's nice.
Yeah. It's tasty. It's supposed to have a lot of terps.
Actually, I think your resin tastes pretty good, too. It's not too bad.
I like it. I mean, it's not like... No, there is. There's something fruity at the end of it. I guess that's the blueberry. There's right when you
it's
exhale.
It's heady, too.
It's talkative.
Well, you know, I'm working on that for June. I'm working on Inspired by Jackson Banks. I would like to do a riffing June. That's my plan.
So
I'm actually booked, you know, if I'm really booked and it's like there's some stakes on the show, then I'll do my act. But I don't want to do my act. I'll do new stuff, stories, crowd work, whatever I'm thinking about or current events and just talking to the room.
That's great.
Just, you know, like playing with objects and stuff. I just want to physical stuff, just anything else.
Awesome.
That's what I'm trying to work on.
You know, it's nice to have goals.
Yeah, and like to ask questions.
Sorry, that was a dumb thing to say.
Well, you know, back when I was single and trying to actually get laid, and before that, back when I was a little kid, I was really curious about everything, and I really wanted to know. I wanted to know what was and what happened, what people thought, and that I've noticed there's something about that hunger to discover or that perceptiveness that's really I mean, I've removed myself from it. You know, I just went like kind of inward with the act. But so I think I'd like to look outward and see who's there.
What a great philosophy to look at. The only current philosophy I have is that once a month I'm allowed to do therapy where I just don't care. It has nothing to do with jokes. It has to do with me saying things on stage and treating people like treating it like a therapy group.
That was like all of Portland for me. I spent like a year there and I just did like therapy stand up basically the
therapy
whole time.
Stand up. Yeah. But I'm self indulgent, and I tell the audience when I start, I'm going to be self indulgent. And it's usually comedians anyways. I do it at OMG. The last time I did it was last week at OMG. And I told them, I said, I'm going to be self indulgent.
For me, it's Marin. I call it like Marin. I do my Mark Marin set, you know, where it's like, let's just get into my demons a little bit.
Right. Sure. Well, I don't think I have a lot of demons because I'm usually high all the time and I feel pretty
good.
It
still helps. It's interesting.
Weed always helps.
Yeah.
It's the best antidepressant I've ever come across. Or not even antidepressant, but perspective changer. Like, so for example, I don't know.
Intersection of weed and poverty.
Well, it makes you appreciate what you have. So when I sometimes am sitting in my apartment and I'm like, I live in the Tenderloin and it's so small and sucks. And I live my life, meow. But it's like, I'm not outside. But I'm not outside being sad. I have hot and cold water and a place to poo.
In your spot.
Yeah. And when I smoke weed, sometimes I realize like the gifts and the things that I have around me and make my needs and my wants more equitable.
I felt inspired yesterday. I went to 3 mics and it seemed like something happened. Like I communicated in some way and it was like, it wasn't necessarily rooms that were like initially expecting to connect with me. But by the end, I felt like something had happened. I got a new bit.
Good for you.
Well, I was shitting, so I felt, yeah. I felt nice.
Yeah, I was a little bummed that the Sparkcast didn't happen last night, but...
Yeah, that was unfortunate. I heard that the Cobb's mic was really low, and that, like, all the comics who showed up got to go on, but some of the pre-signed comics didn't actually show, which is...
weird.
Unfortunate, because not everyone gets even access to see... The pre-sign goes, like,
so
quick,
fast.
And then... Sometimes there's people who are even like on Bacon, like waiting for it, who don't see it, and then other people see it and don't show up.
Very sad.
But so that's interesting. So I guess next month I'll make sure I'm there.
Well, I went last month because I was up and that was great. But the problem is I have Sparkcast, so I'd need to find like a guest host to be able to do it again. So
yeah.
Anyways, I don't know. But I wanted today. What do you think of this? It already, if you guys are listening to the Sparkcast, it feels
nice. And
very Jack.
It's
pretty heady.
I find it pensive, maybe not like as talkative, but like definitely like, yeah. It goes well with the day too, because it's kind of a bright day out, you know.
It's
but like not
day.
Too hot. It's like, it's a nice balance. It's good for. Say a picnic. It's a good picnic
that's
weed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or like a early date, early afternoon date, you know.
Early afternoon date. Yeah. Yes.
It's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm enjoying it as well. So that is the product highlight is the Blueberry Jack. Go to Spark and pick it up.
It's like a little bit fruity. Like, it's very bright. Very bright flavor.
Yeah.
Very clean high.
Making my eyes feel... I'm like, oh, look, here we are.
Low
studio.
CBD. That's interesting.
No CBD. Zero.
Yeah. I never really converted over to that, to the CBD family, you know.
Well, and I had only because I worked for Alta California.
But that's
like
body
company.
Stuff. That's like...
Yes.
Hey,
it
mother,
is the body
what's
stuff.
Up? Right on time. Tight on rhyme.
All right. Hey. And we have Mark Neuer joining
Willie
us
Walnuts
today.
In the building. What's up?
On the Sparkcast, another comedian, Mark Neuer. To let you in behind the curtain today on the product highlight, we are doing Elf Pack and Freshie. Blueberry Jack. It's a Jack Herrera.
Oh, would you like some BJ?
It's a Jack Herrera and a blueberry strain mix. It's 17% THC, no CBD. And we were just talking. Let me finish smoking this. I don't want to give you a Bonesy one because that's dumb. Oh, yeah.
I was listening to Meat Robot yesterday. And I love Mike Kaplan, and I'm honored to call him an occasional friend. And that is such a funny record. It's
Meat
so
Robot?
Funny. Oh my God.
M-E-A-T Robot or M-E-E-T?
M-E-A-T.
I was thinking it was M-E-A-T. I did not think it was M- because a Meat Robot Meat would robot. Be a Westworld character.
Yes, like nice to James Martin you.
Yeah. And I. Oh, poor Teddy. let me dump this out, and while I'm doing that, can one of you guys what I wanted it to be for the show's theme today was first time, because I've never smoked a blueberry, neither have I smoked a Jack
Virgin.
Never smoked these two things together, but yeah, first time stories about like any. It could be. It doesn't have to be the first time I smoked weed, because sometimes that's a good story and sometimes it's not. But it could be like, you know, the first time I remember
the first time I hit a bong.
Oh, there, that's a great story. Warhol Kaufman, everyone. Yay!
So I came to California and I went to school in Ohio. So in Ohio, they smoke like the dirtiest Mexican brick weed that you possibly could get. And, you know, I would get a little bit of wild turkey, maybe like a couple hits from a pipe, whatever. But I came out to Cali, and I hit Cali weed for the first time, and that's its own story, obviously. Did mushrooms for the first time. That was crazy. But then one day, someone invited me over, and I hit a bong. It was a water bong, and I think they went the whole way with like ice, and they were hella like cleaned it and obsessed
about
it.
They did the works.
So they worked me over, and then I got so high, and I met these people. I was living for the month or two. I was living in the co-ops, the Berkeley co-ops in the hills, and so there's like a lot of different college students around. It was the summer, and I met these four people, and one of them spoke like almost no English. She was Italian, but she was like hella cool. And we walked around for hours and had a great time. And I later found out that she was a pathological liar. She wasn't Italian. She became my girlfriend for like the next month and a half. But we had horrible fights because she was like really sick all the time. So she was very reclusive. And like, we'd stay up hella late and I would fall asleep inside of her. And now she's a cop.
That was a cops for you. Pathological.
We went
liars.
To Santa Cruz. A lot of stuff happened. It was trippy. I almost died like driving to Santa Cruz the first time because I'd never driven on the mountains ever in my life. Another first.
So a lot to take in.
I know.
She wasn't Italian. She was a pathological liar who was pretending to be Italian.
Pretending to be Italian just
after she smoked pot.
No, after I smoked pot and met her.
Right, but oh, so she didn't smoke pot
for the night, just to have a fun night.
Because I can't imagine smoking pot and lying to someone all night like that. I would lose my accent. I would forget.
I do it to my girlfriend all the time.
She's a natural.
I would get so high. I would get so high that there's no way I could keep up an Italian accent. An Italian accent? What a strange accent.
I mean, I was really high. Like, I bet she... Yeah, I was really high, but...
She like, was she saying Italian words? Like,
I don't know. I don't know Italian.
Fettuccine gusto.
She probably knew, like, a couple words.
A Stromboli.
Dude, I've dated three pathological liars. Or have I?
A gnocchi. Like, just say words of food.
Is gnocchi Italian?
Hell yeah.
Spicy meatball.
Spicy meatball.
The first time I smoked out of a bong, I fucked it up. Like, really bad. I didn't know really how to do it, I guess, but that...
It was a prison bong.
No, it was
his
a regular
name was
bong. It was a regular bong. And I blew out of the bong, so like all the water came through, and like the bowl flew out and broke, and it was just like, it wasn't my bong, and people were just like really upset with me. Yeah, not a very good time.
I got to smoke bongs. Well, I've always smoked bongs, but the first bong I ever made was the Honey Bear bong. The Honey Bear bong from that Brad Pitt uses in the Quentin Tarantino written movie with Dennis Hopper and Christian Slater, and it's called True Romance. I had to get around
gotta
to
love
it, didn't I?
Gotta love it.
But he has a honey bear bong, and so we used to do that in college. We'd make little honey bear bongs and use condescended me. Put the glue around, hot glue to make it stick.
I made a bong out of, or a pipe out of a Tums container. You know those Tums, like little bottles that are like this big?
You look ridiculous!
The craziest invention I ever made, when we didn't have a pipe or anything to smoke out of, I was in Palm Springs on a dermatology conference with my best friend, and I went in the back. There was nothing there, and I'm like, what are we going to do? How are we going to smoke this pot? And so I went into the bathroom, and I took one of the cups that have the paper covers on them. You know, the paper covers on the cups to, like, keep them safe or say that they're clean or whatever. And then I got straws from the coffee machine thing. So I went over to the coffee machine and opened up one of those little packets, and I got a little straw.
On that MacGyver shit.
And then I took the metal from, so I had a little pass because I was at the conference, and it was the thing that clips, you know, your fob or whatever onto your... your fibbity dip for your to show like, oh, I get to be in for your name badge. So I took that metal part off. So I put the I cut a little tiny bit, like I ripped it a little tiny bit in the paper cover thing, and this I clipped horrible. The clip on there, and so there was a piece of metal, and then I put the weed on that little piece of metal, and then I took
it's like a knife hit
the straw, and I stuck it through the top of the cup thing to bottom. I think I actually did two straws so I'd have more to suck out
of. Did anybody catch you doing this?
No. I did it in the bathroom at our hotel room. But then I put a little tiny bit of water in the bottom too, so that when I smoked it, it was like a baby water bong, because
she could have been a NASA.
It went from the piece of metal at the top of the glass down through the paper into the water and then back up through the straws.
That's bananas.
Crazy.
At my college, somebody made a trombone, apparently, because there's a conservatory, so a lot of musicians. So they made a trombone.
Trombone.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
I wrote it into my screenplay.
That's good, a trombone. That's because then it'd be, well, then it has its own carrying case.
Well, yeah, and you can extend it.
That's exciting.
It can almost be like a... you can almost make a gravity bong out of that.
Yeah, no, it is. Like, you hit it, and then...
That's crazy. Yeah, that's a trip. It's a really good idea.
Those crazy musicians.
Fucking donate to Mutiny.
Smells like jazz.
Like a trombone bong like right now. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
Next day, air that shit to us.
Yeah.
We'll have it for True Hustle tomorrow.
So you guys are listening to the Sparkast here on Mutiny Radio. We just got on iTunes, which is really exciting.
Oh, snizzle.
And today we're
similar to Sid Singh, who's number 3 in iTunes Comedy. Number 3.
Really?
Sid Singh is number 3 on iTunes Comedy.
How is that possible?
I don't know. He's in like England now, and then he's just amazing, apparently.
As a podcast or as a...
No, his comedy album is number 3 on iTunes.
Sid Singh is like... working.
Killing
He's everywhere. I think Sid Singh was just in the 209 a bunch for Deaf Puppy comedy shows.
He's like in Scotland right now or something.
He might be. I think I'm friends with him
England
on Facebook.
What? He's killing it.
But yeah.
And then he'll come up
his
and
name a lot.
Bomb at the sweet spot and the emptiness. I love it. I love watching successful comics bomb. It's my favorite.
Well, because it still happens.
It gives me hope.
Like, I think a lot of people like glorify, you know, paid comics or
a lot of people glory hole comics, you know, and it's just like,
yeah,
no, I love it. He's great. He's really funny. I mean, I really like him.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't seen his set. I know I've seen his name, so I know he's like, you know,
that's
working.
Unbelievable.
I like him when he riffs it.
That's so funny because I'm like, if he can make it, why am I not famous yet? Really?
Do you want to know? Honestly, I've been thinking about this because I feel like,
that's a dick thing for me to say. I'm sorry, but
well, you gotta leave San Francisco. But it's like, I feel like there's all of this like sperm and the egg kind of competition for like a few shows that maybe are good or maybe are not good, but like aren't actually gonna propel you forward that much. And then there's all these other avenues that I feel like once the act works, once you recognize your act works, you gotta like find where it has value. And I know it has value somewhere. I don't think that knocking on all the comic stores is the way to do it. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I totally agree with that. I also think that like a huge part of it is like once you're comfortable with yourself as a comic and like your material, you know your voice, you know what I mean? This is a lot, saying a lot for, I think I'm like 9 months into comedy now. I've just counted
you're crowning.
It's like nine months almost. I'm almost coming.
You can see the head.
No, it's only a year, dude. It's not shit. But I think that like once you're very like familiar with your shit and like you know your material, you know it hits, you know what doesn't.
You should have a pipe. That would really sell it. Like
you then take you take your legs and you go. You know what I mean? You can't stay because your hometown will never book you. Never. They will never get you on as a headliner. They'll never fuck with you the same way that other places will.
And like, I guess the festival thing is a thing. I'm not paying for like any opportunities to perform is like, I'm still got a mental block against it.
What do you mean?
I've been told like NACA is a good option to join NACA and go after college shows that way. I've just mostly done cold calling, but I feel like there's avenues to get closer to where I want to go that really don't involve any of the shows that I'm already like going on.
You've been in comedy for 3.5 years?
You know, I mean, even like frat shows, like frats have money. Like, you know, there's like always. No, I've been doing stand up. In July, it'll be 5 years since my first
5 years
booking as a comic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that like you're gonna find your avenues. You know what I mean? Like you're gonna definitely.
Well, I've toured 17 months around the country.
There you go. Like you're already paving. You know.
Or
what
we're
mean?
All gonna toil in obscurity, and it doesn't matter anyways.
But here's the thing. Like Mutiny. Mutiny is important. Mutiny is really valuable. Like we held down an art space in the Soma it was there for 6 years, and it's like.
Where is that?
Again, like knocking on everyone's door, like. Begging for space as opposed to just like working together with people to hold down space. It's Nathan Folsom. It's called Merchants of Reality.
Oh yeah, that place was amazing. It was really and that's but there people lived there too. It was like
it was a 24-hour workspace. So it's like as a model, it's not super new, but the agreement was like very specific. So everyone had to have a residence address.
Oh,
and then everyone had access to workspace for 24 hours whenever they needed it.
Huh.
It didn't work perfectly, and we should have run it, honestly, less egalitarian and more of a dictatorship because that's how you get shit done. But
it was a big place. It was a big space.
So, like, everyone doesn't need to be scrambling separately. If we just pool resources a little better and think a little harder about what we want to be doing, I feel like... we can stop. There's this idea that like if one person succeeds, another person fails, and all these comics like to stand in line and be like, oh, where's the line? Let me stand in it. But like, you don't have to stand in line. You can find other avenues. That's the point.
No, yeah. I mean, we.
I'm not gonna get more specific than that on the radio, but.
No, we need to. I don't know. I think as artists, as just performers.
Another example too. How many filmmakers I know in the stand-up comedy scene who do not work together to make films? It's crazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't have to fuck with everybody.
You're around each other a lot.
Style is not going to mesh with everyone's style. I mean, plain and simple.
I think people need to work together more if they want to succeed. Actually.
Well, I mean, to a degree, I agree with you. Everyone has their who they fuck with. I mean, to put it simply, who I click with and who I don't, and like. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. I know a business standpoint, like, you should be able to fuck with everyone, but I don't think that's, like, 100% true, because you really got
to
know.
Dude, I've seen shows where people roll out, like, 45 minutes to an hour, and there's, like, three, four different cars taking, like, three or four different people all that way, and everyone's spending the same fucking money that they're going to make on the show. It's just, like, efficiency. I'm talking about efficiency.
Yeah.
Streamline, like treat the shit like a business.
No, yeah, this is literally building as comics.
It's,
you're building.
It's hard though because what do we say? We don't agree that our comedy has value, or people haven't agreed yet that the art has value. Like we as a group have all decided this plant that we're smoking that is very delicious, by the way. But we all agreed it has value, and we say this little nug of flower. Costs $20 and it gets us all high and we talk and that's really cool, but it has value. But we as comedians, because we are at open mics all the time, being paid, we go, well, what we're doing doesn't have value because people aren't honoring it with value. And
you have as much value as you demand. And I mean, I told you the story I love about you buying the water for the comics. That fucking elevates what we're doing in that space. It takes it to another level. Telling the venue very clearly, like, we're not going to accept this, and like, you're going to have to find another way to work with us if you want to work with us. I think that's beautiful. In comedy, there's two rules, right? It's get on stage as much as possible and never perform for free. And the two rules cancel each other out. So like, we're all fucked. It's true, but
right, because we always perform for free. I mean, that's all we do, really. It seems.
I mean, it just depends on what you look at as free, because like, right. I every time I go to a mic, and this might sound like weird or whatever, but like, if I don't have like cigarettes, for example, like, I have homies that have my back. You know what I mean? Like, hey, can I get a cigarette? And like, it's like I'm beating a dead horse every time I ask one for a cigarette at this point.
Well, and so demanding regularly. From the stage, you know, like,
but
I'm getting
what
that.
I'm saying is like, I know that what you're saying, like, I get what you're saying, but there's always a second, like another option to look at it. Like how many times have you come to a mic where you were like, fuck, I don't have any weed, but like someone was like,
or it's like, you know, what's my goal? What am I here for? Am I here, like, if you're here to try out this bit and just like say it into a mic, I just
tried to light this bowl and hit it through the
an October blueberry.
That's a Jack Herer blueberry mix.
Yeah,
blueberry. I love Jack Herer. It's one of my favorite flavor. Like, you know, the taste of it.
The
is
terps,
so
terpenes.
Them terps.
Getting really into terpenes. I think that it's very interesting with dabs. They've been adding terpenes back in, so they extract the THC. They get a wax,
so
and
flavorful.
Then they've been infusing terpenes into wax, which I think is very interesting. But then it almost becomes like this pharmaceutical thing of like, there was a plant called weed once, and then we turned it into this thing, and then we added the plant back. Like, it's,
yeah,
I don't know, it
but
seems
it's very
like
Frankenstein.
Very, very tasty.
My
when they add those terpenes to the wax or the oil. I mean, of course, when they add it to the weed, it's fantastic, but when you get like a nice tangy or a forbidden fruit hash oil, and they add those terpenes back into it, God bless.
Oh yeah, okay, so I have a roundy and a squarey. I have a PAX, and I have, you know, a roundy one that looks like the long cigarette kind. And the cartridges, sometimes they infuse them with terpenes, and they taste so different. Like,
so different.
Yeah, it's
you
like
can actually taste the taste.
Yeah.
Compared to like, sometimes you're getting weed and like, let's not lie, sometimes you get weed, it has mold. And sometimes you get weed, it has like some kind of like something on it that isn't like 100% what you want.
Well, but
and
if
it changes the flavor of the weed completely.
If it's in a vape pen though, like, even sometimes it tastes like, you know, waffles. Like, who knows what are they doing?
It's like the vape.
I had a joke that for a while that never worked, but it was about, you know, San Francisco Same. Being so progressive. Although now with this Prop E thing, who knows if they're being progressive or not. But I was like, San Francisco's so foodie and they're so vapey that I won't be surprised if you go to a hoity-toity restaurant and they're like, well, of course you can get the wine pairing, but unless you get the vape pairing, you really won't understand what the chef is doing. You're like, you need to get the hazelnut waffle with foie gras and sour cherry glaze, and it's
and maple
unless,
vape.
Unless you have the maple vape, you maple really vape. Aren't getting the chef's full pick. You know, you get the Sutzern wine.
Did you ever? Because you smoke cigarettes, have you ever had a vaping phase?
No, I've never. Like, I've always enjoyed smoke. I love smoking, and it still has to do with I smoke bongs, I smoke pipes, I'll smoke weed any way you want to smoke. But
I smoke
really
days,
prefer.
I smoke nights.
I prefer smoking weed in its flower form to using a vape pen, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's just that I'm 43 years old and I've been smoking for so long.
I know why, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say on this show. Vaping is great. It's great.
It is. Well, it's all, I mean, always are fine. He's playing with his microphone now. It's
doing tricks.
We're here at Mutiny Radio at 21st in Florida, hanging out on the Sparkcast.
Back to the source.
First time stuff.
Back
first
to Pangea.
This is my actually first time being on the Sparkcast. I've been
oh my
god.
First time.
Mutiny,
first
but,
time.
I mean, you guys want to hear the first time I tried to have sex?
Sure.
I'm down.
I was
apprehensively.
I was probably like a sophomore in high school, and my girlfriend at the time was my actual, like, my current girlfriend now. This was her like best friend. This still is like a really good friend of hers, and that's how her and my girlfriend now, we her and I met, was through this girl.
Now, what's her email address?
I don't know, but her name is Rose, and we dated for like, I don't know, like 2 weeks, something stupid, high school shit. And there was like this festival. There was
only like 2 weeks and fucking.
Right. So that's
trying to
grimy.
No, yeah, he did.
Yeah, this
he
is the first time I had ever tried to have
first
sex.
Time grimy. Tried to.
Now we there's this like festival at school. I think it was
what
called.
What was like her fashion sense like?
Wow. Not like that of a Stockton hippie.
What does she smell like?
A Stockton hippie. Birkenstocks?
Is that like
Stockton?
Is that like fragrance or just herself?
Yeah, what are Birkenstocks?
No, it's like strong.
Birkenstocks are hippie shoes.
Oh,
leather hippie shoes with buckles.
I know Haley used to wear Toms.
I guess those are new hippie shoes.
Does she have leg hair?
Haley or Rose?
Rose
did not have leg hair.
No,
she wasn't a real hippie then. She wasn't
sandals? It's a Stockton hippie. There's just wild wannabes out there. No, it was like it was like Vans. I'm from.
So it's like a hood. So like a skater hippie.
Skater hip. Exactly. That's exactly what I'd say. Her fashion.
All right, keep going.
Anyways, so we were there was this festival. And it was at school, and you know, everyone was kind of in the field area, and then there was like this porta potty. Now, when I say porta potty, it was like a porta potty for like a king or a queen kind of thing. You know, like you ever been to Sixth Street and you see that like facility bathroom they have on the street where all like the bums can, like, I think there might even be a shower inside of it at the one on the Sixth Street. But basically, there's a sink inside of it. There's like two different stalls. It's like an outside bathroom, really, but it's like a portable one.
Wait, the first time you tried to have sex was not in a bathroom?
Not just a bathroom, a portable bathroom outside.
Oh, that what's wrong with you?
I don't know. There's something really fucked up with my head. And
was it her first time?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's not your fault.
So
it's not your fault, Mark.
We went to this porta potty, and I.
This is hard. I feel like we need to put a warning. Kids, don't try this at
Never.
Your own porta potty.
No, no. But well, we used a condom.
You should use a body condom, a scuba suit.
I used a black condom.
And you have to make it racial.
No, that's really what I did. And I couldn't get hard.
It's a disturbing image.
I couldn't get hard.
It was already disturbing.
And
what did it smell like? Don't tell me. Never mind.
It was a porta potty.
This is sad.
And it really is a fucked up story. It was the very first time I'd ever tried to have sex.
Aristocrat.
And she blasted me on Facebook after that and called me Tootsie Roll Dick.
You were supposed to blast her in the face. It's not your fault you couldn't get hard in a porta potty. But
I don't think
whose idea was it?
It was a mutual thing. We both wanted to have sex, and we could never like.
And what did we learn?
I learned nothing. I learned not to use condoms ever.
It's a good rule.
That's not a good rule. That's a bad rule.
Just know who you're sleeping with. That's what I've learned.
That sounds like a Burning Man story.
What? Oh yeah. Well, but he was like 15, so it's a little different.
And there was no drugs involved.
She sounds like a nice girl.
Mike Spiegelman is plagued with bad luck. He's been trying to get a hold of me here and there, because I've been paying attention to this, he's trying to get here. And now he's like, I can get there by 5. I'll take a cab. I'm like, no, we're done at 5. When we go over to the Eagles. So it's like he's just plagued because last night he showed up at Spark and then it was closed. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And he came all the way from somewhere else. And I feel like terrible, but I can't. He keeps trying to communicate.
He's like Charlie Brown.
But he's trying to communicate with me when I cannot communicate. I'm alive on the air. I cannot communicate with him. So it's like, it's frustrating because I'm also like, I'm doing the weed and smoking the pot. So I'm like totally singularly focused.
Drugs, brother.
Well, I'm singularly focused on what we're doing, which is trying to make good stories for the Sparkcast and help our amazing sponsor be happy because.
When was the first time you were booked as a comic?
October 10th, 2011 was the first time I got paid. Chemo's upstairs. But the first time I ever did a set was July 17th, 2011.
So wait, the first time you got paid, how did that, like, tell, I want to hear that story.
So, upstairs at Chemo's used to do this thing where they do an open mic, showcase open mic. And if you didn't,
cool.
If you were there for the open mic at the beginning, then you got to stay for the showcase for free. But if you weren't there and you didn't show up by a certain time, then you had to pay. But then once the show was over, the second open mic you could do or whatever. Somehow there was money and they were charging at the door. They had a door guy. And so they always made money and they paid all their comedians because it was Alex Q. Huffman and Matt Louv and Jason Dove, and they were putting together a show where they were like, if you book good comedians that make you laugh and you make people pay and you do the right promotion and you make the comedians like if they can be the audience too, but they have to pay if they want to be for the late night mic or whatever. There was something where, anyways, they were bringing an influx of money in. It was at this upstairs bar. It was very cool.
Does that style of show still exist around here?
No, because it's at a bar, and it was upstairs, and it was special because they had a bartender. I mean, it really depends on the room. The only place you could do something kind of like that in San Francisco would be like at the Elbow Room, or at
the
upstairs
room.
Upstairs at Neck of the Woods. But so they did this show there, and it was funny because Amy Miller was on it. It was Amy Miller was headlining, and it was terrible because I was so drunk and I heckled the fuck out of her.
Oh my god!
I was so
That's
drunk.
Funny.
It was my birthday,
Who's
and so
Amy Miller?
She's a Portland comic
I
now.
Know her
but she's one Portland's
a little
funniest
bit,
person.
But
she's done
not
a Comedy
actually.
Central special, and she's
oh,
big.
Nice.
Yeah, she's holding it down.
Yeah, she's been at Bridgetown. She's done everything. She's getting there, you know.
Do you regret? Did you guys ever invite people to open mics when you first started, like your friends would be like, hey, come out, you know, there's an open mic.
Yeah, I still do.
No, I mean, like, okay, do you don't regret it?
No.
You don't think it's affected you, like, on a level of like getting people to come out to like actual shows that like you're getting paid for?
Ultimate
kind of
success is not gonna, like, you have to get beyond your friend group anyway.
Yeah, because, you know, my friends won't come to anything. Like,
well, I know
they didn't come.
I just
I've
feel
lost
like
a lot of friends because of the festival. I was like, you didn't come to my festival. But I knew you need
it
to get
comes
outside.
Down the same thing. You got to travel.
You can't you can't rely on your friends.
You got to go places where no one knows your face and where the stakes of what happens on the stage are the entire stakes. It's only about what happens on the stage. You leave and you go somewhere else.
That's I think that that's have you met, you've met Clark
Franzman.
I like, I really like Clark.
Yeah,
I think
good.
There's something very special about Clark, and I think the fact that
he's
traveled
from far away.
Right, he traveled out here, he's put down the commitment to be here, and he's here. And he's one of the most hardworking comics I've met. He's out to everything. He's at everything, everywhere. And I like that. I think that like you're saying, you gotta go. And I think
did you hear about Cobbs yesterday?
What happened at Cobbs yesterday? Everyone got on. That's what
yeah.
I
mean.
Yeah.
So
there was nobody there at all. It was so low.
It was 20 comics and 20 audience, and most of the audience left before the end, but every comic got on who showed up.
Wow. That's really interesting.
Well, I hope they still do it. I hope they don't stop because they can't have made any money. I know the waitress was probably pissed and shit, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, I think it's their fucking duty to have an open mic.
Well,
at
it's
those places.
It's their.
I think the.
It's not really only for the scene. I mean, I think
it's for them.
Benefits. Yeah, I think it benefits Cobbs, but I also think that, I mean, you have to make it work.
Yeah. Well, they need a talent scouter out.
Well, they don't have the open mic
on
the website.
They don't have it on the website?
It's not on the website.
Well, because they're not trying to advertise it enough. And you could tell because they don't expect to make anything there because you can absolutely tell. If you've been there on a regular Sunday or a regular whatever night where there's a show, they have waters for $8. $8. You go there on an open mic night, everything's like reasonably priced.
They do
like,
bring the price down.
Oh, significantly.
But I think that comics got discouraged from thinking like, oh, they had no chance of getting on. But I think it's really interesting.
People just don't like lottery. I think that's what it comes down to is people really don't like lottery. And I understand
because you have to be there. Because
yeah.
You have to be there and support the room.
Well, you have to be there.
Because nobody
time.
Wants to support the room. They want to go hit the other open mics. They want to get their stage time. And that's, I mean, that's the difference of, and how do we get ourselves to a larger audience? Like, I've got the Spark ass. I mean, we do it live at Spark, but how do we, like, let people know, like, yeah, you come out, hang out in the vape room, and we're doing comedy.
Well,
like,
you know,
we
one thing I
want
to do, and I want to do this for a while, is make a calendar flyer that's like involves multiple kind of like different shows, but like giving people a guide, even with the map.
They should put.
You feel me?
They should put. Yes, I do. They should put the Bacon calendar, the Google Maps calendar.
Well, they have to update it because it's not accurate.
Or Google whatever calendar. It's pretty damn accurate. It's pretty much on point. I mean, some of the information that's on those mics aren't all 100% there, but every mic that is on there almost guaranteed is going to be there if you show up. Almost. Unless
no.
It's like a special day. Well, I know it needs to be updated regularly every single day.
No. What I mean is like when I have gone through it most recently, it's incredibly inaccurate. It has stuff on there that doesn't exist anymore. It has stuff that it's just like, it's almost like an intentional mislead.
What do you mean?
It's almost like,
because
like,
if you want to go to open mics, you figure out where they are and how to get there.
You have to grind it out. And so yeah, comics are, who have mics that they like.
That's the thing. Years and years ago, I've been in this for 7 years. No one gave me a map. There was no group. Matt Gutzer didn't do a group. I worked my ass off.
Well, the map I'm talking about isn't for comics though. It's for like people who like comedy, but they only go to the punchline. So it's like here's local dope shows that aren't necessarily like huge on the radar, but like come to Copyright Bar on Wednesday. Come to, you know what I mean? And I think, I mean, Heavyweight's doing fine, but I'm just saying, I feel like
Heavyweight's
that is
doing something very special out there. Heavyweight and Hella Funny.
I'm going to check out Copyright Bar today, actually, I think.
Heavyweight and Hella Funny are...
Well, Hella Funny find a hook that seems like it's worked really well. I heard Tony got a big crowd at Maggie McGarry's the other day.
Oh, Mike, you didn't see it?
I saw the crowd, but I didn't see the show.
I didn't see the show either, but that crowd, it was...
Well, Scarpino's crew was there, so people get excited about that. And the Maggie's was packed out.
Oh, he's back in town with his... With this film.
Yeah, and that's what happened. And they just, I hope that people, like, when they saw what happened to Maggie McGarry's on a, what was it, a Tuesday night?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No, I don't.
It was
I
a completely packed bar from wall to wall.
Maggie McGarry's doesn't do anything on Tuesdays, though. They do now.
They do for...
Well, Tony put a show there yesterday.
Oh.
They.
So there was Taupe and Grant and Green and Maggie McGarry.
And Cops.
Maggie McGarry's wasn't open mic, though. It was a showcase.
It was a show, and it was killer. I mean, it really killed. I don't know exactly what
mean,
they did.
I'm not going to... I hear it was great. I mean, the comics they had on it were great. Roman was there. Tony was there doing his thing.
What happened was multiple
Austin
comics
did a set.
Just murdered in front of a full crowd. Then went across the street to, like, you know, Taupe. And then were like, why did I do this after? They felt like in their hearts. It was like the Grinch. The heart grew smaller.
Yeah.
Like, why did I do this?
I think comics get too hung up on the reactions of the open mics. Because I had that problem. I do too. I'm not speaking from a point of like higher up or nothing. I have it too, or as well. But I'm trying to like weed it out as much as possible.
I used to enjoy bombing more.
Yeah, I just it's like it's not even bombing. Like I don't think that either of you two bomb. Like
I don't, and I hate to have a huge ego about it, but I don't think I bomb either. I pretty much, I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm doing karaoke or if I'm doing whatever. I never feel like the audience is like, shut her up.
Yeah.
Like I never feel like that's happening. So whatever, then it's
so, I bomb constantly though. So like I know the feeling of a bomb, but
well,
when
you don't
it's just
have a
comics
lot of jokes
that,
yet though either.
I don't.
Mean, the thing is that once you get to a place where you have a script where if people aren't, if you're riffing and they're not getting you, then it's like just do jokes you know work, and eventually there someone's gonna like one of them because you know they're scripted, you know they work, you wrote them, you've practiced them, they're in your body, they're in your head, they just come out, and you just, you know,
recently like, I am addicted to like this one, just this one thing. It's like getting the laugh is fine, you know, like the stage time is beautiful, but like when you get a room, enough of a room that you, or you get people laughing hard enough that you get the waves of laughter where it's like, it comes and it comes and goes. And that wave, like, I just like walk around listening to like videos just for that sound and like chasing the sound. And it's weird because like before,
makes sense.
It was kind of like whatever, you know. Get on stage, like I have a goal and objective, but now it's like
that means that they're actually paying attention to you and they're going with you, and it isn't just I heard a joke and was laughing. They're literally paying attention.
It's a journey, yeah.
And they're listening to the whole thing. They're not just hearing a joke here or hearing a joke there, like waiting to laugh. They're like actually with you. So you know that there's a communication there happening. Because they're not getting up and getting a drink, and they're not talking to their friend, and they're not looking at their phone. They're like
that is
physically
a hard combo
responding
to
you. So yeah.
If you can hit all those things.
Nerve endings, man.
Those are amazing.
Well, and that's why
if you can get them to not do any of those things.
If you doing sets places where people are really high, they can get really into it. But it's just you have to have a big enough audience. But sometimes that's, I've done shows like underground 420 shows where everyone is so high, but they're all with you.
They listen, but they're not.
They're not respond. Yeah, they're not emoting with their physicality or their bodies or their voices. There, but they're,
you know what else?
You.
The lighting is huge in that. Like if you light an audience too much, you mute their ability to. And I was talking to you about going to high water.
I agree with that. When it's really light, they don't.
They're too self-conscious.
Right, because we can see them.
But you should go to High Water on a Wednesday, dude.
Where?
Like, Ernest is trying to go tonight, I think. Highwater. It's Marcus Parker's room in Sacramento.
I heard about
Sacramento.
That. You were telling me about that.
Yeah, it's like basically like a young, intelligent, black, like educated crowd, as far as I could tell. And
those are all the people that love hearing me speak.
You know what I'm saying? Well, dude, his set yesterday was like a, I was telling people, it was like a Comic View set.
Very facetious.
Oh, you should talk to him.
No, I, dude, I'm not, I, San Francisco's definitely, I realized it when I went back home, has definitely, like, changed the way that I am in public to people. Like, I don't really come up and, like, talk to everyone anymore, like I used to. I used to be very sociable. It's so much so that that's where I got my gig in Lodi, was because I would not stop talking to people. It's all I would do. Cause
what's the first time you bombed super hard?
I bombed so hard at the Bomb Shelter that I thought about quitting comedy one time.
How many people were there?
It was a packed room of comics that all like had really great sets, and like I just had all these really like fucked up head. I was in a really fucked up headspace.
What did you do?
Like, what I just did you do didn't on stage? Do did not do well. Another time that I've done really horrible. Like I thought I was doing really really. I couldn't figure out Mutiny.
Did you have jokes or were you?
Yeah, I had jokes. It was all material that I thought was gonna work. It didn't at all. It's like the one time I came, Mutiny actually is where I was at, and I did all these jokes. It was like a room full of Asians, and this comic that I'm pretty, at least I was really good friends with, she's also Asian, and they were right here. They lined this back row from that end to this end. And I just like did, I did a joke about.
That's where you get in trouble. You think you're good friends with an Asian.
I did a joke about my Tinder joke I have about eating dead cats. And that wasn't for, like, I guess it, I mean, when you tell a joke, it's for people, but it's not like, the joke has no racialness to it at all. It's simply that some girl on Tinder asked me if I like to eat pussy, so I brought a bag of dead cats to her house.
Okay, yeah, tasteless joke, but still tasteless has legs.
Oh, well, yeah, I
doesn't have wings, but has legs.
So right. I went to the ASPCA.
And I don't know what that means, but, and then I just felt the vibes. The vibes just started going.
Oh, because you didn't realize that you said something racially charged. And you didn't, charged. You weren't, your context wasn't racially charged, but they saw you and they're the like, room. Tall white guy. And they saw it as racially charged because it came out of your mouth, even though it wasn't about Asians. And you didn't even say that you were going on a date with an Asian.
Yeah.
Multi-dimensional.
Right. So they interpreted, and so then there was a natural bomb there.
Well, context is really interesting, man, because people act like there's a universal funny, but it's not. It's relative. You know what I mean? It's relevant to the moment and to your experience and culture and like all these things.
The joke I followed it up with was about eating yellow snow.
Oh my God, yellow! You kept on it.
Yeah,
yellow.
And I didn't even. And then and once
wow.
I did that,
were you high?
I was
were
so
you
high.
Super? Okay,
so high. And I
you
felt the groove. I was
together.
Like, so oh funny. No! And then I felt that I was in that groove as soon as I said that joke. And then I think I even did that joke with. Who wants to eat anything that's yellow anyway? Something ridiculous like that. And I said, like, fucking mustard's disgusting, which I don't really think that, but fucking mustard's disgusting. And I couldn't think of anything else that was yellow because I wasn't thinking about, like, you know what I mean? I wasn't in that headspace where they think that the flip is going to be something about Asians.
Daffodils.
They thought that was what the flip was going to be, and it never was. Daffodils, yeah, like flowers or something. I could have, a lot of things that my retarded ass could have said, but.
You know what else is yellow? The sun. You can't befriend the sun either.
That's
you'll
right.
get burned.
That's amazing. You should tell
so
that story.
That was
on stage.
Your first bomb.
Huh?
That was your first bomb?
No, my first bomb was probably. I mean, like, oh my God, dude, my first bomb. I mean, other than the first time I did comedy, was at 133 Cocktail Lounge. It's a biker bar in Manteca, where like they care about all the people in that all the patrons care about is doing blow and playing pool. That's
right.
All they care about.
They didn't want to listen to a person
especially
on a
microphone. Especially not on a karaoke
well, when you're doing blow, everyone wants to talk. Everyone wants a mic.
No, not when they can't do it. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. They didn't want to listen
they
to
didn't
someone
listen
else
to
on a
someone
microphone.
Speak. No. So that's what it was. It was like I got on stage and it was during a karaoke night and they were going to give me 5 minutes of comedy. It was like, I've never done this. No one's ever asked me to do this before. So, you know, we're going to do it, you know, see how you guys like it. And, yeah, I got heckled. I had people walk right up to me, kind of like fuck, like trying to intimidate me.
Did they touch you?
No, no one's ever touched me while I was on stage.
Wow.
Show me on the mic where they touched you.
No one's ever touched me
so
on stage.
So it wasn't even a bomb. They just didn't even want a performance. Like, that was another reading the room issue. They're like, why would they put anybody up?
Because I asked.
And they put you right in the middle.
Yeah, I asked.
For karaoke. It was during karaoke, and you had them stop karaoke.
That's gutsy.
So that you could do that. Is gutsy.
And I repeatedly did it after that point for the next, up until I started coming out here to Mutiny. Even then, wow. I'd still do it. And then
did you win them over?
They keep letting you.
Yeah, I won. Last time I went out there and performed, we had a really great night.
That's
I don't know,
dope.
Do you know Marcellus?
Flores.
Yeah, from Stockton. He was out there. I brought him out to Manteca because I went out to his mic in Stockton when I was still living out there.
That's a good story. I like that.
Yeah.
That's how you get better, man.
Wow.
That's how I started. That's where I started comedy.
That's so brave.
Brawling, dude.
Yeah, I did it in Lathrop as well. Same exact idea.
So we used to play on the corner, and it's the same thing. 13th.
Did he make
16th
it?
He made it.
He made it.
Oh my God.
We only go till 5.
Oh my God.
We were saying that Mike Spiegelman has the worst luck. Mike. But the problem is he keeps trying to communicate with me while I'm live on air and uncommunicable. Like I can't. Let me pack you a fresh bowl because of the product
on?
Highlight.
Hi, Pam.
Hey, you made it. Why can't we? You keep trying to communicate with me when I'm live on air. I can't.
I called you too.
I know, but I've got my ringer off because I'm a good person.
Oh,
and
no,
I've got,
I'm talking on the studio line.
No, I know, but I never pay attention to that because I always think it's Sweet Gail.
Oh my God.
So and I've been interviewing people all day. I've been literally live on air since noon. So
God bless you.
I feel so terrible.
You had asked me to come by Spark on for the live show, and they closed early, which is fine. They were really nice to me. And I just haven't had the day off. So I said, shoot, but I didn't really hear from you. And then I said, I bailed. I went home with the folks. And
well,
I was.
Once I put on the internet that I have people, that was to let other people know I got it. But you, I thought we'd already agreed that you were coming.
Oh, yeah. No, we. Well, I'm glad I'm here at Sparkcast because. I couldn't do it. I didn't mention I had the day off, but I had the day off, and I was in the other club of San Francisco, Golden Gate Park, and when you called, so well, thank you.
There's a carb at the end. The product highlight today. Sparkcast.
You mentioned that. How does it spell? There's capital letters in this?
Yeah, capital letters. H-I-G-H. Well, each week we do a different product. Highlight. So this is the Blueberry Jack. It's a
Our
Jack
guest of
Herrera,
honor is here.
Your guest of honor. It's a Jack Herrera Blueberry Kush, I guess.
How does it make your nipples feel, Michael?
Hybrid. 17% THC, 0% CBD. We never got to my CBD thing. You said, oh, CBD, do you fuck with CBD? I used to fuck with CBD because I worked for the tincture company. And so I would take CBD all the time. And
it sounds like a novel. I like this.
Well, CBD is a lot of fun because it gives you something called memory extinction. Like, that's the worst thing that happens is that it makes you so... You smoke it. We've been smoking. It makes you so Zen Buddhist that you, like, forget. So I'd be like, that is... And I'd be looking at it, and the word I'm looking for
You're
is
like
red.
Dory. Yeah.
But I couldn't remember certain words would just disappear because I was like so in the moment. I'd be like, and that's a computer screen, but I wouldn't be able to say that word. I also, they said that you can't like overdose on THC.
Did you lose object permanence?
No.
It helps me with migraines. The CBD stuff.
Oh.
That's the reason why I got a card.
It's also CBD is a massive anti-inflammatory, so it does something with your body and.
Because I have hemorrhoids too, not only migraines. So
there
explain
you go.
How so CBD
well,
is for me.
You could use CBD as a. I mean, you could definitely
there are suppositories.
Rub it on your tush. Yeah, I know they have suppositories now. Isn't that crazy?
But it's not CBD. That's
it's
like
THC for cancer. I think it all works, but who knows?
I don't know. I'm very particular in what I'm going to stick up my ass. So I would have to say
blow smoke up your ass.
Yeah,
that's what they used to say. You blow
what kind
smoke
of smoke
up
they blow up your ass? CBD smoke.
Wow, CBD. Anyways, I like CBD, but I don't use it the way other people do. And some people love it and need it, and it's just not my. But THCA, once I took too much of it, and I could talk to cats, and I understood Spanish. I was on the bus, and people were speaking Spanish, and I understood them. And I don't speak Spanish. And there was a baby and a cat that I was talking to. Like, the cat was talking, and I understood the cat.
She is so
hot. No, they were breaking up. They were breaking up. It was really sad. Like, she wanted to go somewhere and he wanted to go somewhere else. And then they ended up getting in a big fight and it was like they broke up. It was bad news. But the cat, the child saw the cat and was like, what's wrong with the kitty? And I talked to Mr. Kitty, Big Kitty. And Big Kitty said that, you know, his friend had just died, which just actually happened. And he was very sad. But he was meowing at us and talking to me and a child. And I could understand the cat and the child and the Spanish. So THCA.
This is a good time to mention that Coco the Gorilla Vegans is still alive. All right.
Oh, Coco the Gorilla is still alive?
Still alive.
He keeps calling me. I just made one joke, and now he thinks that we're friends, and I keep getting, like, I check my video phone, and I see make joke, and I'm like, you know, I don't have time, Coco.
Make joke.
Yeah, that's what he does. He does the motion for...
With the, because it's a texting, Coco the texting gorilla.
He video texts, so you actually see him. He sees you, and he'll say, do shtick, right?
Do shtick.
Do shtick. And you go, no, Coco, no. Daddy's tired.
How do you feel about this? Tell us what you think of the... Give us your product highlight of the Blueberry Jack. You like it?
It's, yeah. It has a very like, frosty, very upbeat feel to it. I mean, it's definitely... It has a really nice taste to it. You know, it's not not much of a taste. Right?
Well, it had a little bit of fruitiness in part of it,
yeah.
But not too much.
But it
much,
was,
yeah.
It's definitely like, I would say frosty. It's definitely like a kind
frosty.
Of.
Frosty?
Yeah.
I mean, I've only heard of frosty nugs. I didn't know that they're actually, it's like
that's,
a term.
This is an example of a frosty nug.
Can someone please check on frosty nugs? Is he okay?
Check on every
Has anyone
freeway.
Heard from frosty nugs
he's
recently?
He's at Bricks. He's at Bricks every Wednesday. Yeah, 9 o'clock. It's good stuff. So, yeah, people who are listening to the Sparkcast.
I'm not talking about the comedian here
that's
in the Bay
what,
Area.
No, we've been talking too Frosty much about Nugs. Comedy tonight, but it's fine.
Yeah, but it's, the Sparkcast, it's uplifting. It's a very nice one.
It is, yeah. The Sparkcast, usually we have comics do jokes and talk about all kinds of
which
things.
Which I wanted, so I just, what I was starting about is that I'm glad I was able to make this obligation and at least show up for the last 10 minutes of Sparkcast, because
yes.
I think it's a great dispensary, and that it would, I'm actually kind of okay not talking in a retailer store, a retail store, you know, while people are buying and people
it's
are.
It's interesting. You can kind of pull them out of line and talk to them.
No, that's
it
cool.
Makes them a little bit uncomfortable.
I mean, it would
but
be
people
cool.
stay. People stay and watch and sit in the vape lounge.
I did a stand-up comedy show at Spark about 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. A friend of mine who's no longer a comedian ran the show, and it was fun. They set up the mic right kind of in the back. It was the same setup as they did before. And it was the first time I really got to use a vaporizer, so that
that's
was kind
so
of fun.
Fun. They taught me last week, and
you
I
never
had
used one before.
Well, I've used them, but I didn't know how to do it myself. Like other people have, you know, done all the preparation for me. So
because they were as a medical dispensary, they don't want people smoking.
Pipes. No, yeah, they're not big on. You're not allowed to smoke pipes,
which
in there.
I really think you is can, cool. Like, I respect
absolutely.
That a lot. Yeah,
because it's well, it's. I mean. I don't think pot smoke sticks. I don't think the flavor sticks to anything. Like cigarette smoke, if you smoke, like, so I have a rule here at Mutiny Radio, we can't smoke blunts inside. And I feel terrible about that. And it's not a race thing, but it is that you, like, blunts are tobacco and it makes it smell like tobacco and tobacco smells. So I don't let people smoke cigarettes in here either because it would stink. Like all of everything.
What if the tobacco
stink.
Smelled like candy, caramel, apple, or grape?
Still, yeah. That would be
no one,
gross.
No one eat.
But no, it'd be like, then it still feels sticky and dirty and weird.
You know
it?
That whole E, Proposition E?
Right, right.
About the selling scented...
No, right, no vapes.
No vapes, flavored vapes?
No
but
flavored
includes,
vapes.
Vote no on E.
Yeah.
Oh, the prohibition?
What I chew is my fucking business.
Why
well,
do you
or
chew,
what,
man?
You, I mean, it's
the same, my fucking
it's,
business.
But it's menthol, so it's menthol and it's candy things and they're saying that they're targeting children, but it seems to me like this is kind of a racially like people who use nargila are traditionally from Middle Eastern countries. Black people have a higher tendency to smoke menthols for some reason. I just feel
what
like
happened, it's because that's all I smoke is menthol.
Well, I would just say that just getting back to blunts, I know a lot of people use flavored
flavored blunt wraps, yeah.
Right, and
which that would ban. Then that's the reason why
it would ban flavored blunt wraps.
I don't understand what I really don't
because
understand
because that's
I,
what they're selling it to kids and who uses that stuff. I mean, that's kids, right? I mean.
No, I know a lot
kid
of
know how
I know
to
a lot
make
of grown
it. Okay, so
people who
what
smoke.
Was the first time? Here we go. This is the theme was
I
first time.
Racist.
When was the first time? When was the first time you rolled a blunt, Warhol? I wanted to. First
rolled
time.
Rolled or smoked?
Rolled. When's the first time you? So this is the point. Children don't roll blunts. They don't know how to. It's impossible.
Well, that's
they sell
not
the,
true.
They sell the zigzag wraps to make it really easy.
Well.
Is that tobacco?
Technically.
So, but when was the first time you rolled your own blunt?
Since well, I started with
you know, Zigzag's raps basically because I couldn't roll, so I had other people roll. But then, I guess it was Nelly who taught me in a way that I actually like really figured it out. Before that, I would roll really terrible blunts. It didn't really work.
So this is a recent thing that you've been able to roll blunts.
I started rolling a lot of blunts from Swishers. Like, basically, I joined Swisher Gang.